Midterm elections are Tuesday. The control of the U.S. Congress is in the balance, as are many governorships across the country. Money and attention are now converging on races that are considered most competitive and potentially pivotal. Charles Cook is editor and publisher of the Cook Political Report and a columnist for the National Journal. He joins us in our studios. Thanks very much for being back with us.
Thank you much.
And certainly the Senate race that seems to be uppermost in the mind of the country at this particular point is Norm Coleman versus now Walter Mondale in Minnesota. Obviously, it's a lot different than when we might have asked you about it a week ago.
It has changed enormously just every few days, where immediately after the plane crash and it became obvious that former Vice President Mondale was going to be the Democratic nominee, it looked like there'd be this groundswell of sympathy that would just sort of wash Mondale into office. And then they had the memorial service that even partisan Democrats admit went a little bit too far and really sort of energized Republicans and kind of pulled it back up. I certainly think that former Vice President Mondale has the advantage, but we have to keep in mind this is a state that Al Gore won by only 20,000 votes just 2 years ago, that this is not as hardcore Democratic state as it used to. So Democratic advantage, but it's going to be a close race.
A lot of people nationally talked about the Senate election in South Dakota as some kind of surrogate referendum, a showdown between the Bush administration and Tom Daschle. In fact, the two candidates on the ballot are John Thune and Tim Johnson. How's that looking?
And both of these are people who are elected statewide. They're well-known. They're well-defined in their own states. And I think this Bush versus Daschle thing is a bit overstated. Mm-hmm. It's an incredibly close race that sort of seesawed within a very narrow band for a while. Seems to me that John Thune seems to have a tiny, tiny advantage, maybe a point or two. But it's going to basically be who did a better job of getting their vote out.
Missouri?
That's the same sort of situation. It's close, very close. I'd say Gene Carnahan, the appointed senator, was ahead for a while, and then it pulled up even. And right now it looks like Jim Talent may be ahead by a point or two. But, gosh, it's incredibly close.
Mm-hmm. States that Republicans seem to count on the most as we speak right now would be Colorado, Arkansas, and New Hampshire.
I'd put the sequence in terms of Democratic pickups. The most likely would probably be Arkansas with Mark Pryor against Tim Hutchinson. Number two would probably be New Hampshire, the John Sununu, Governor Gene Shaheen race. And then number three, I would say North Carolina. Mm. And this is one that a couple of weeks ago we really didn't think was that close, that Elizabeth Dole seemed to have a very comfortable lead over Erskine Bowles, President Clinton's former chief of staff. And then it closed down to 7 or 8 points. And then it sort of started closing up again within the last 10 days or so. I think former Secretary Dole's maybe up by a couple points, but it's awfully close.
This weekend, President Bush is campaigning full-time for Republican candidates. Do you have a handle on how big his coattails may be or may not be?
You know, a president can come in and raise you a whole lot of money, but the political event of a political benefit of a president coming in isn't that great. I remember 1986, President Reagan was campaigning just as hard as he possibly could to try to maintain Republican control of the Senate. And typically what would happen is the Republican candidate would go up by a point or two, and then for maybe a day or so, and then would start dropping by half a point. And then a week later, you couldn't really tell that the president had ever been there to visit. And so these kinds of visits, it doesn't help as much as you'd think, and it's a very temporary benefit. I'd say the people getting to visit the last day or two before the election might get a little bit more bounce than the others. But the biggest thing is President Bush, if they lost control of the Senate, the fight for control of the Senate, and President Bush didn't campaign really, really hard for candidates, he would be roundly criticized.
Mm-hmm. Florida, at one point that was considered close between Bill McBride and Jeb Bush.
It's still close. McBride took a real run, got to within a point, 2 points, 3 points, and it slid back a little. But I would give Bush a tiny advantage, but this race isn't over.
What about the governor's race in Texas?
That's going to be harder. Tony Sanchez is a Hispanic banker from Laredo, and he's spending $70 million of his own money in the primary and general combined against Rick Perry, who had been George Bush's lieutenant governor. It's probably, I'm guessing, Perry ahead by 8, 10, 12 points, something like that. And but polls in Texas this year, we don't know quite what to make of them because of Sanchez and the governor's race and Ron Kirk, an African-American running for the Senate. You are going to have a historically high level of minority turnout. And, you know, if it goes up by X percent, then Ron Kirk wins the Senate race and the governor's race gets close. And how do you guess how much minority turnout is going to go up in this kind of situation, and pollsters can only guess. So, you know, we'll see.
Charlie, what are the chances in your mind of the fact that over the past few months, hundreds of millions of dollars have been spent in congressional and Senate campaigns to win control of the House of Representatives or the Senate, and yet it might turn out that the divide is more or less exactly the same?
Well, I mean, it's a likelihood. The thing is, this country is split down the middle. And so the odds are pretty good that the House is going to be, you know, 50-50, 51-49, 52-48, something like that, one way or the other, and the Senate the same thing. And I think when this thing's over with, each of the parties will probably have 25 or so governors, give or take one or two. And it just reflects where we are as a country. We're split down the middle.
Charlie, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Charles Cook is editor and publisher of the Cook Political Report and a columnist for the National Journal.